So it's August 7th, 2017, Harold, and it's 2 days after my 78th birthday, as time flows on. But let's maybe just start out with some of your background before, we'll go back to your high school experience and move on to college.
Well, to start with, Bob, today is August 7th. 2017, and it's Pat and ours 52nd wedding anniversary.
Is that really? Okay.
So, it's something, wow. You know, you go back a long way with high school. You know, I attended DeWitt High School and graduated in 1961, and the following year, it's just like Western Dubuque, it changed because then it became Central Community Schools, which in turn took in other communities other than just DeWitt. They took in Lomore, Grand Mound, Welton, and changed some things. They still had some kids coming from Eldridge, North Scott, because they didn't have a high school there yet. So some of those kids that were high school either went to something in Davenport or came north to DeWitt. So things changed dramatically at that time, because that's when Eldridge, North Scott was formed at the same time. So Western Dubuque and DeWitt and all those schools back at that time were changing dramatically. Graduated in 61, moved on to the University of Dubuque, spent 4 years there playing football, tried basketball, I was never a basketball player, but did some things in track and graduated there in 65 with a degree in teaching English. Went to Belvedere, Illinois High School, my first job, and spent 1 year there teaching English, coaching sophomore football, assistant varsity basketball, and track. At that time, you know, way back when you coached a sport.
You did everything.
You did everything. And so in football, we tried to determine how much we're getting paid per hour. And the number of time or number of hours we put in for coaching and scouting and everything else, we figured it out that towards the end of the season, I was getting 4 cents an hour. You know, so you look back at that and you think, wow, why wouldn't you do something like that? But you did it because you love to do that. You like being around kids. But after the Belvedere stint for 1 year, we moved back to DeWitt to teach and coach. I taught there or spent 7 years there, with three of them being teaching and coaching, football, or sophomore football, and wrestling. I guess maybe been 4 years. The last 3 years I was teaching part-time and then assistant principal. And from there, in 1973, we left there and moved to Dubuque, and I was at Dubuque Senior High School for until 1978.
You got your administrative degree in that period of time?
Yes. While I was in DeWitt, I got my degree at Truman State. Now, that was Truman State now. It was Northeast Missouri State in Kirksville, Missouri. Drove there during the summer, and then a friend of mine, Danny Barr, and I drove there one night a week during the winter season.
Oh, that was a drive.
Yeah, it was about 4.5 hours to get there.
Jeez.
Had a class at 7 o'clock. We got out of there at 10 and drove home. Okay. And normally that was done on a Wednesday night. So we get home, and then you get up and go to work the next day of school. You know, so, but it ended up that I spent 2.5 years getting my degree in administration.
So then summer school too, maybe?
Yeah, did summer school. Okay. 2 summers.
Okay.
And then a couple classes during the winter or whatever, driving there. And then after that, moved to Dubuque, where I started my degree in administration. For superintendent, and that's when our son was diagnosed with cancer, so I had to kind of stop doing that for a number of years, but not only because it took a lot of time, but also because of the mounting bills with treatment of cancer, that you didn't have any extra dollars to continue your school educational program. So once that was all over, and during my time at Western Dubuque, I started there in 78. I completed my degree then, and eventually became superintendent. But the time at Western Dubuque was 13 years as principal and 11 as superintendent.
Well, there were some interesting times for us when we got started. Vestavia High School, right?
Well, as you know, Bob, I started there. I didn't know anybody there. Applied at a number of different places at the time. Matter of fact, I applied at Webster City at the same time as principal. And my friend, Denny Barr, also had applied at Western Dubuque at the same time. And I remember interviewing at both places, and I remember talking to Wayne Drexler in his office there, and one of the last questions he asked me, he says, "What do you want to do down the road?" And I says, "Well, Mr. Drexler," he says, I told him, "I want your job." He looks at me and says, "You can't have it," he says. And, you know, and then after I left the interview there, gentleman, the Bob Horsfall from Webster City called me. He says, "Hey, I had a good interview there, and really liked the system there. It was a very good system, much like Western Dubuque." And he called me. He says, "Hey, I'm going to offer you the job." And I said, "Well, I want to wait and see what happens here at Western Dubuque." I had to wait 2 days, and then Western Dubuque called me and said, "Hey, this is, we want you, and this is what we're going to do." And so I agreed to go to Western Dubuque and call Bob Horsfall back.
Okay.
And Bob says, and told him, I says, "Well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to take the job at Western Dubuque." He says, "Do you know anybody else? He's something like you." And I says, "Yeah." I says, "Somebody like me." I says, "Is Denny Barr." So he called Denny Barr and eventually hired him.
Denny went to Webster City.
Yep, he went to Webster City, closer to his home. I stayed closer to my parents yet here at DeWitt, so that's okay. How we ended up at Western Dubuque.
So that just the location between Western Dubuque and your parents' place and Pat also was a factor.
Yeah, that was one factor. Yeah. It really was, because there was another factor. And one of the issues primarily was, you know, I was in Dubuque for 5 years, enjoyed the time at Dubuque Community Schools. It certainly was a challenge at that time at senior. I think we had something like 2,200 or 2,300 kids. I think Hempstead was about 24. And at that time, Walter was about 1,800, 1,900 kids.
Right.
You know, so there were three large high schools. So it was a challenge there, but it was a learning experience too. But chose Western Dubuque for not only being close to our parents, but also looking at the diversity that we have with communities. You know, you look at the number of different communities here, of all the small towns, and Dyersville included, a larger community that made up the Western Dubuque School District was something that was very interesting for me. It was much like DeWitt.
Yeah.
Very much like DeWitt and Grand Mound and those communities down there. So that's probably one of the biggest reasons why we chose that. Along with our parents being close, so that we could help them out.
You know, just when we think back to those times when you and I came into the high school, one of the things that always impressed me was we had such a great staff, great teachers.
Bob, I've said that for so many years. I think that's probably the key. I remember the first meeting we had in the social studies room. I remember all the teachers sitting in there, and I was up front, and they were asking me questions. I remember that vividly as yet today. And I sensed at the time there were a lot of good people there. And one other thing that I didn't realize at the time, but I thought it would be as good, and that's the students that we had. We had a good group of students that were fun to work with. Sure, we had to do some discipline at the issues, but that's normal with any type of young people.
Yeah.
But it was something that I thought was more of a rural background that I was from, that I would fit in better and enjoy it more, and certainly did. But you're right, the staff, and I have to say this too, that the number of parents that we had to work with were fantastic as well.
Yep.
So it wasn't just the students and the staff, it was the parents, it was a variety of communities that we had to bring together and hopefully continue to bring them together as a family. And it was a very fun time for me.
Yeah, it was lots of memories of those years in the 80s, you know, that things that flash across your mind. I always bring back the interesting time we had at the Halloween dance.
Well, Bob, Bob, there's so many times that, you know, what you and I had to go through. And, you know, I guess, I look back and we had a very good working relationship. You know, we had, it's a good example, some principals that in today's society do very little with discipline, especially in your larger schools. And, you know, you and I decided, hey, you know, maybe it's not just you as assistant principal, it's me too that needs to be involved with that. And I really believe that we as administrators enjoy the time spent with kids, with students,
yeah,
as well as staff. And I, you know, you look back on that, what you just mentioned, that Halloween. I look at some of the other dances that we had, and the things the dances we'd have after ball games,
the proms
we had, where we had them, you know. And I think, and I look back at some of that, and I just talked to somebody probably within the last 6 months about after prom. Somebody asked me about when that all started. I said, we started.
Yeah, 85 maybe.
Somewhere
in there.
Yeah, maybe 84, 85, somewhere in there. I said, we were the first one in the area to have an after prom. And I said, we did it. We thought it was fantastic. And I think it still is. It's changed.
Yeah. Well, it's more. They have more choices.
They do.
To do wherever.
But, you know, it's something that I think was started a long time ago to provide something else for students other than just a prom, especially going out and drinking. You know, yeah. You always have that issue here. And all schools have it, I guess, and more so in other areas as well. So I look back at the number of times we had to deal with students, different things we had to do. Our band going to the different inaugurals, going to the different parades in Florida, whatever. You know, I looked at the number of parents involved in those types of things, whether the different activities, I think was just fantastic. And I remember a lot of those things. We just talked a little bit ago about some of our students, and they bring up issues that happened in school. And, of course, I can't remember everything, but once they start talking about it, it comes back, and you say, yeah, this is what happened, you know. And they kind of wonder about how we can remember all that. But, you know, some of it I can't, but a lot of times you can.
Well, last Friday evening, Lucy and I went to Dyersville for the baseball tournament because they were inviting the past mm-hmm. queens. She was a queen in 1970. And at any rate, we went there and she visited a lot of other ladies that were there. But the color guard did the national anthem. And anyway, when they came off and they came up there, and well, it was Jerry Becker, Jerry mm-hmm. Becker, Jerry and Kathy. Kathy was there. And so we sat and visited for a while because we were with together on one of the band trips to Washington, D.C., whatever year that was. Anyway, Jerry and I remembered we were driving the Suburban coming back, and we always had like the tri-state buses. Like there was like 7 buses of kids, mm-hmm. and those buses were going on Interstate 80 going back west, going home, and they were flying. We were trying to catch up with them, keep up with them. And Jerry and I remembered that we switched drivers without stopping one time because we didn't want to lose them. We said, well, we couldn't be able to do that now.
So. Oh, boy. No. You know, Bob, you mentioned that about the buses. You know, I remember the number of times they did the trips, especially the inaugurations where they yeah. did the radio ads and everything, raising money for that. And it's a phenomenal thing to me is that a community like this could bring together that much effort to help them attend something that a lot of the students never had a chance to do. But, you know, I look at that now. I've driven bus for the last 12 years, a tour bus, so I've had a chance to have students on board. And one of the trips was the West Dubuque Band going to Florida for something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but stopping in Nashville, Tennessee for 2 evenings. And one of the evenings we went to the a place that had a large dance floor. And this restaurant bar, whatever, hired a country dance person that came in and had the students out there dancing, different things, you know. And I remember how in my opinion, how great it was to see kids involved in something like that.
Yeah.
The kids we had on that entire trip were just fantastic. And I still see that. I've done a lot of trips to D.C. with the Right to Life movement and spent time in D.C. with the students. And so, you know, I look at these kids that came from our area here as still the same, still good kids, still have an idea of what they want to do. And sure, some have an issue once in a while, but I think that happens in all schools. But
well, just maybe we'll shift gears a little bit. I remember you and you too during that time, Harold, and later on when you became superintendent, the challenges we had trying to to get bond issues passed. You have memories of that, I'm sure.
Well, yes, and you know, and that's probably one of the more frustrating things. But you know, I understand the culture and the climate within our system, you know, and I don't think you can say anything really negative about it. It was just a difficult time to impress on people the needs of our public school. I guess one of the things that probably I've thought more about over the years is the number of portables we had, and what that really meant. And what kind of issues could arise because of just having portables there, you know? So, and, you know, another thought just came to my mind about the portable. Remember the time that the raccoon was out there? Police officer came and put a hole in one of the portables. By God, trying to kill the raccoon, you know, and I had a big uprising. And I agree with it, you know, that hey, that should not have been done. But there's nothing we could do to stop it at that time because we just thought he'd scare the thing away rather than trying to shoot it. But you know, I look at that back at that, and then what we have today, it is amazing.
With
the 2 cent or this tax. Thing is done to help provide some excellent facilities for our school system. I've looked at over the years where we've gone with the number of students involved within our public school. I knew where we were when I came to West Dubuque. We were about 950 something, as I recall the first year I was there, and I knew that we were going to go down in numbers eventually for a number of reasons. And I also remember various schools closing, Holy Cross High School closing, working with students who may want to come to Western Dubuque. Remember the different times we tried to pass bond issues and the number of people that helped to try to get people to convinced that. But you know, I look back on that, it was a trial. But I guess. You can sit there and say, hey, it was a terrible thing that happened, but hey, that was part of life at that time. That's what we had to deal with.
Yeah.
Today it's much better, it's much easier, but there's issues today that we didn't have.
Right.
You know,
here where we are.
Yeah, if we look at the issues that principals make today
in society,
you know, it's much different. So, you know, and the class I teach is helping teachers who have their master's degree become principals. You know, they go through a lot of different things than what we did. The technology today has changed so many things in society, and especially in schools.
Yep.
You know, cell phones is a big issue. You know, the ability to find information now in a matter of minutes versus looking up in an encyclopedia that may be old, you know, is phenomenal. It's just changed our world completely.
Right.
And some people get to the point where they think they wish you could go back to what it was like. Well, I think they could say that about our parents. They wish they could have gone back too.
Right.
Especially when they looked at Elvis Presley and different things coming about. They thought we were going to hell in a handbasket. Well, we survived and they survived. So, you know, I think we have to deal with that in society that's different than what it was back then.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, I look at what time we spent together at Western Dubuque, and I look at the administrators we had with Wick and Jim O'Meara and the South and Rutz and Tim Showalter, and I could name a lot of them. But it was a very fun time to be with a group of people who cared about students, who wanted to do what the best they could for the students, even though we may not have had the best facilities. Even though we didn't have the biggest gym to hold everybody, I remember the number of times we were in that gymnasium, small gymnasium, when we had Beckman or another big rival. You know, there wasn't enough seating. The worst part of all of it, at my experience, was during graduation. We had to hold it inside. We didn't have enough room for everybody, and somebody had to, we gave them only so many tickets out for each student, and that was sad that people couldn't come and watch. But if we had it outside, it was fantastic. But that was probably one of the things I didn't like at all. But you know, you had to deal with those types of issues because of facilities at the time.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, as a lot of things hit you, memories of all the home football games and and the weather, you know, sometimes it was fine, but other times it was not so great. And walking up and down that hill many times was
you know, one of the things I really felt good about at Western Dubuque is the time that you and I had together, and then we had an opportunity to add Larry Conrad as athletic director, trying to keep up with all the events and attending events so that somebody was covering those events. Certainly was not a task that people could just say, hey, it just happened. No, that's something you had to organize for. You know, and I appreciate very, very much what you and Larry did over the years with helping to run everything and keep everything, you know, an even keel.
Yeah. Yeah,
because it was. You can't expect one person to attend all of those events and supervise all those things. So, you know, but you know, I still do it. I still go to a lot of events. It was part of my upbringing. It was part of my time that I spent there. So I still watch a lot of football games, basketball games, wrestling meets, volleyball games, concerts, plays, whatever. So, you know, I still do that because I still like it. It's part of my culture. But I do appreciate what you and Larry and especially a lot of staff members did over the years to help things at Western Dubuque.
It was a lot of I haven't I want to actually try to get to some of the maintenance people and some of the bus drivers and get some of their recollections of the things that they went through and experienced over that period of decades that we worked together. So we'll do that sometime.
Well, transportation is a big issue in this district. You know what they're trying to do right now is trying to get some funding for transportation. Because what we spend for transporting our kids to school, a lot of districts don't have to do that. I look at Bettendorf as an example. You know, they don't have hardly any busing. They have busing, but it's not like what we have. Their district is so small compared to our 555 square miles. You know, so we have to spend money on getting kids to school, whereas they do not. And that's not a fair thing. So hopefully, we tried many years to do that, even when I was superintendent and when Wayne was there. He tried too, but we never got that done. But they're talking more about it now, and more schools are talking about it and involved in it. So I think something like that could happen. Yeah, it is. It is. Hopefully, it can happen so it's more fair.
Yeah. Yeah, to get some. That's why it's been saddled us with a lot of financial responsibility that other districts just don't have.
Yep. Very true. So, very true.
Yeah. Well, what about other issues that you can recall, Harold, as far as when you were superintendent that you had to deal with?
You know, one of the things that in our district, we have a lot of square miles, but we also have a lot of different schools. And I guess one of the things I always thought was we tried to do anyway is to get along with our parochial neighbors because they were educating students and we were educating students and sometimes kids would switch places, go from the public to the private or private to the public. You know, I guess what I tried to do and what I thought was a good thing is we tried to work together to help kids. It wasn't that one was better than the other. When we got on the competitive floor or competitive field, yes, sure, you were loyal to that school where you were, whether it be public or private, and you wanted to win. But hey, that, you know, winning at all costs is not the answer. Hopefully, what I wanted is that, you know, people would be conducting themselves in a good manner, so that they're good sportsmanship, and we could get along and have fun and enjoy it.
One of the other things that occurs to me too would be, as far as in your position, it's a rural district, but there's two high schools. That's pretty unique, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, that was that's a problem for some people, because you know, if one gets one thing, the other one wants it, or vice versa. So you try to be fair about it. In a larger school, maybe we had more class. We had more class. We had more students in Cascade. Cascade was a good school too. Because of where they were, they weren't as large, but yet they had some great staff members as well. So it wasn't a sense that one was better than the other, but it was something that was more of a challenge.
Yeah.
Because you try to have class sizes, as an example, being somewhat similar. Well, it's not always going to be the same.
Can't be.
Because you can't dictate. There's some courses, especially in a high school level, that you're required to have. That you can't just say, well, we're not going to have it because we don't have enough students. We're 20 students in a class. Well, maybe they're going to have 10.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're going to have more than that. So, it's a challenge. But, it's not any different than Dubuque, where they have three high schools and a parochial school. So there were challenges there, too. And, I guess it's an issue where you just work through it. And you try to do what's best for kids, no matter where they are.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the keys things that I, in my class that I direct, I try to do now, is make sure that when they make decisions, you're making decisions like we tried to do as much as possible, what's best for kids. And if you keep that in mind, I think most things will come out in the wash that are positive. Even though sometimes when we went through some times with financial issues, when the state was not providing enough financial assistance, you do what best you can. The law says you can't overspend, so you can't do that. So that you have to make some decisions that are not always the best and easy to make, especially when you have to reduce. So those types of things were probably more difficult for me, because what you want to do is what you can do for the best for kids, and then you had to get rid of teachers or staff, other staff members, whatever, and that was always a dilemma. That you didn't like to face.
Yeah, that's got to be the toughest part of the.
It is, it is. But you make decisions, and hopefully it's made with one thing in mind. What can you do that's going to hurt the students the least? That's, if you keep the students in mind at all times, I think you're going to make most of the decisions are going to be fairly good.
Okay.
So it's been fun. I look back on the years, 24 years that I spent at Western Dubuque. It was fantastic. I think I have so many fond memories of things. You say the bond issues. Well, hey, that's part of reality. That's part of life.
When did you decide, or what made you decide, well, I've had enough, I'm going to retire?
That was a good question, Bob. Good friend of mine, Danny Barr, and some other friends said, hey, when's the time? I said, I don't know when the time is. I knew when I was at different schools that I needed to change. I knew that when I left DeWitt after 7 years, I wanted something different. That's when I went to Dubuque Senior, and I knew after 4 or 5 years, I knew after the 5 years, during the 5 years, time, I need to change. And when I became principal, and then after 13 years, and I had applied probably a couple years before that for superintendent's jobs, and it was something that I wanted to try, but I didn't really, really want to do that at that time. But I knew just I needed a change. Mm-hmm. And then when it became the time to retire, Bob, that was I don't know how you decided it's that time. There was nothing negative. It was just that time I thought, it's time. It's time to do something different.
Right. Okay.
Which I wanted to do. And
I've done it.
done it. We built the house on our own. That I, after a few years, I started driving tour bus and did something different. And then I did my last trip this past March to Nashville with a lot of my former students. From the high school, we did it. We spent 11 years down there with them. So, you know, that was a fun thing to do also. But, you know, I don't know when people, some people decide they retire when they're, it's a negative thing. They're tired of something or they burn out. I wasn't burned out.
Yeah.
I just thought, hey, I want to do something different. One of the things I want to do is spend more time with my wife. You know, when you're in the school business and a lot of other jobs, you're not home very much.
Right.
You're gone a lot of nights at meetings. Even as a superintendent, you know, that didn't stop from being a principal. I was at a lot of events, a lot of meetings. So, you know, that's one of the things I wanted to do is spend more time at home.
Okay. Well, you've done it.
Well, yeah.
You've been able to do it.
You know, the other thing that probably is one thing that I really appreciate is happening is our three children had an opportunity to attend West Dubuque schools.
Yeah, same for me.
And the same for you. I really appreciated that. I really thought it was a safe environment. The vast majority of the time, a lot of good kids, a lot of good people, a lot of good teachers, a lot of good bus drivers and custodians and cooks and you name it. We had a lot of good people that cared about kids, and I really thought that was something that was very important to me. And I really hope that we created a family approach to our school so that it wasn't one town, it wasn't Epworth, it wasn't Dyersville, it wasn't just Holy Cross, it wasn't Petersburg, it wasn't Bernard, it wasn't Cascade. It was a family type of thing that hopefully we could all agree on getting along and doing what's best for kids. And I think that has happened.
Yeah, it has.
You know, I think it has, but you know, you wonder if it's going to continue.
Right.
But from what I see, it has.
Well, listen, Harold, thanks for our chance to get together and reminisce a little bit.